Welcome back, guys. Thank you for once again joining me on another episode of Follow Me Into the Dark. I am, of course, your host, Michelle. Thank you for tuning in today. So today, we are talking about those hairy creatures, snarly, nasty, hungry. No, ladies, I'm not talking about your husbands. Today, we are talking about werewolves. Did you know, before America had witch trials, Europe had werewolf trials? I didn't know that. So, let's talk about this. Pretty interesting stuff if you don't know much about werewolves. It is that time of year, you know, we are approaching Halloween. So, let's do a spooky werewolf story. Now, a few of the accused back then may have been actual pedophiles or serial killers, but a lot of these accused supposed werewolves were actually beggars, homeless people, hermits, even recent refugees from other countries, and they were tortured into confessing. 200 years before the witch trials in Salem, Massachusetts, Europe was convicting men and a few women of transforming into werewolves and mutilating and eating children. The punishments were sometimes just as gruesome as the alleged crimes. In 1589 in Germany, after being accused of being a werewolf, executioners strapped a man named Peter Stump to a cartwheel, removed his skin with hot pincers, and chopped off his head before burning his body at the stake. Stump's head was attached to a wolf carcass and was later displayed as a warning to others who were tempted to consort with the devil. Werewolf trials took place in parts of Europe through the 15th, 16th, and 17th century. Really, they were driven by superstition and also just religious and political clashes, and also just the desire to find scapegoats to harsh conditions. Many confessed to being werewolves and committing these heinous crimes, but only after they were being tortured. Historians suspect that some suffered from delusions or weren't intelligent enough to know what they were confessing to. So that's kind of sad. And like I said, a few may have been actual pedophiles or serial killers. But the historical records are fragmented and exaggerated. Centuries later, it's really difficult to untangle folklore from real evidence or what people believe to be real at the time. The idea of being consumed by animals in this world or the next was a popular anxiety throughout the Middle Ages. Werewolves were part of folklore in the Middle Ages, but they were usually harmless characters who shapeshifted into beasts against their will and were desperate to return to human form. Charges that real people could be menacing werewolves surfaced as part of the witch trials that swept through parts of Europe in the 1400s. Officials in a particular region of Switzerland conducted large-scale prosecutions blaming witches for crop failures, lameness, blindness, infertility, and even impotence. You know, it's the witch's fault that you can't get it up. According to some accounts, several hundred men and women were convicted and burned at the stake in this area, starting in about 1428, often with a sack of gunpowder around their neck. And get this, any land they owned automatically transferred to the local vassal of the king. So, you accuse someone of being a werewolf, you kill them, and then you get their land. That seems legit, right? So, what is a werewolf? Werewolves are mythological animals and the subject of many stories throughout the world. Werewolves are, according to some legend, people who morph into vicious, powerful wolves, while others say that they are a mutant combination of human and wolf. But all are bloodthirsty beasts who cannot control their lust for killing people and animals. It's unclear exactly when and where the werewolf legend originated. Some scholars believe the werewolf made its debut in the Epic of Gilgamesh, when Gilgamesh jilted a potential lover because she had turned her previous mate into a wolf. Werewolves made another early appearance in Greek mythology with the legend of Lycaon. According to the legend, Lycaon was a king of Arcadia who, in the most popular version of the myth, tested Zeus himself. Zeus, who was supposed to be all-knowing, he served him the roasted flesh of his own son in order to see whether Zeus was truly all-knowing. As punishment, the enraged Zeus turned Lycaon into a wolf, and he restored his son back to life. Werewolves also emerged in early Nordic folklore. The saga of the Volsungs tells the story of a father and son who discovered wolf pelts that had the power to turn people into wolves for 10 days. The father-son duo donned the pelts, transformed into wolves, and went on a killing rampage in the forest. Their rampage ended when the father attacked the son, causing a lethal wound. The son only survived because a kind raven gave the father a leaf with healing powers. Now, other than the legends of werewolves, there are a few stories of supposed real-life werewolves. Many so-called werewolves from centuries ago were in fact serial killers, and France had its fair share. In 1521, Frenchmen Pierre Bergette and Michel Verdun allegedly swore allegiance to the devil and claimed to have an ointment that turned them into wolves. After confessing to brutally murdering several children, they were both burned to death at the stake. Burning was thought to be one of the few ways to kill a werewolf. Bergette claimed in 1521 at his trial that on one fateful night, three men in black accosted him. They demanded that he denounce God and all things holy. In agreement, the men would grant him riches and guarantee the safety of his lost flock. Bergette reluctantly agreed, but after a while began to regret his decision. It was at that time that Bergette met Michel Verdun, a meeting that would forever change his fate. Verdun convinced Bergette to accompany him to a meeting of supposed warlocks. During their rendezvous, the two stripped down naked and applied ointment all over their naked bodies. Sounds like a fun night, right? Soon after, Bergette claimed he and Verdun grew beast-like fur all over their bodies and that their hands and feet became clawed. The pair became werewolves and together went on a murderous rampage that gripped the French countryside. Legend has it, some of the children they abducted were never found. Their young corpses assumed to have been consumed by the evil duo. After the two alleged werewolves had been found guilty, which was easy because they did confess to their crimes, they were burned alive on stakes. Their fate wasn't really out of the ordinary, since this was during the times of the witch trials. The question remains, however, as to whether or not the tale of Bergette and Verdun was real. Some suspect that that ointment was a high-grade hallucinogen, which made them kill under the notion that they were werewolves. So they were just tripping out, basically, and thought they were werewolves. But other people hold on to that idea that they were actually werewolves, doing the devil's work. Now, Gilles Garnier, known as the Werewolf of Dole, was another 16th century Frenchman whose claim to fame was also an ointment with wolf morphing abilities. According to legend, as a wolf, he viciously killed children and ate them. He too was burned to death at the stake for his crimes. A patrol in the eastern French town of St. Claude tracked him down. He was living as an immigrant in poverty in the forest. They accused him of mutilating children near Dole in 1573. After torturing him, he finally confessed to killing 4 children and feeding their bodies to his family on a Friday. So let me just point out, this was bad in 2 ways. Not only did he go on a killing spree, kill children, and eat them, and feed them to his family, he did it on a Friday. And church etiquette is against eating meat on Fridays. So, 2 big crimes there. Eek. So he was burned at the stake. Some had doubts and thought he couldn't have possibly have gone 60 kilometers away where some of the missing children lived. Whether Verget, Verdon, and Garnier were mentally ill, acting under the influence of a hallucinogen, or they were simply just cold-blooded killers, that's all up for debate. But that didn't really matter to the superstitious Europeans during the 16th century. To them, such heinous crimes could only be committed by a horrific beast such as a werewolf. Now, there is also the Bedburg werewolf. Peter Stubb was a wealthy 15th century farmer in Bedburg, Germany, and he may be the most notorious werewolf of them all. According to folklore, he turned into a wolf-like creature at night and devoured many citizens of Bedburg. Peter was eventually blamed for the gruesome killings after being cornered by hunters who claimed they saw him shapeshift from wolf to human form. He experienced a grisly execution after confessing under torture to savagely killing animals, men and women and children, and eating their remains. He also declared he owned an enchanted belt that gave him the power to transform into a wolf at will. Not surprisingly, though, that belt was never found. But could you imagine if it was? Holy shit, a belt that transforms you into a wolf. It probably maybe would have ended up in a museum or some rich dude would have bought it just to have it, right? Anyways, moving on. Peter's guilt is controversial since some people believe he wasn't a killer but the victim of a political witch hunt or werewolf hunt. Either way, the circumstances surrounding his life and death stoked fears at the time that werewolves were on the loose. Werewolf trials often featured similar details. Men in black, a magic ointment, belts or some kind of pelt or skin that turned the accused into wolves, attending witch ceremonies late at night, and going on bloodthirsty rampages. Supposed eyewitnesses testified to seeing huge glowing eyes and long pointed teeth, and beasts running with superhuman speed. Now, during the time of the trials, people went against the church's authority and took charge of werewolf prosecutions themselves. And at one point, they were encouraging citizens to assemble armed with clubs, spears, battle axes, pikes, other weapons, just to hunt down, catch, shoot, kill these supposed werewolves. St. Claude's grand judge, Henry Baguette, became convinced that a large group of witches and werewolves were terrorizing the community and ordered multiple arrests and prosecutions, with the charges often used interchangeably. In 1598 alone, he pronounced 17 death sentences. But he had to adjust his legal views with the church's official position that God alone could transform humans, and the devil could only create illusions. Noting that he had seen confessed werewolves snarling and prancing around the courtroom on all fours, Baguette concluded that they were clearly under the devil's spell, and so they equally deserved to die. Courts sometimes called in physicians to testify. A common medical view was that the confessed werewolf suffered melancholia, which is a kind of depression that included mania and delusions, but some doctors did go along with the view that it was the devil's work. We're talking, this is 15th, 16th, 17th century, so things are a little different back then, a lot different back then, especially when it comes to science and physicians. Now, modern medical experts theorize that some accused werewolves could have suffered from porphyria, which causes sensitivity to light, reddish teeth, and psychosis. Or There was hypotrichosis, which is a hereditary condition that manifests in excessive hair growth. And then there's lycanthropy, which is someone believing oneself to be a werewolf. Now, believing oneself to be a werewolf could be brought on by consuming some hallucinogenic, some herb or mushroom, some kind of concoction. It'll make you trip out and think you're a werewolf. Now, the werewolf trials continued into the 17th century in Germany, the Netherlands, and Eastern Europe, particularly isolated in rural areas. But gradually, the educated and elite stopped believing in the devil or animal transformation. In 1692, in Sweden, an 80-year-old man named Thies was laughed out of court when he professed to be a werewolf, and he has entered hell 3 times every year to battle witches and devils, just to ensure a good harvest. He was later convicted of practicing magic, and he was sentenced to flogging and banished for life. Some legends maintain werewolf shape-shifted at will due to a curse. Others state they transformed with the help of an enhanced sash or cloak made of wolf pelt. Still others claim people became wolves after being scratched or bit by a werewolf. You see that in some of the movies, right? In many werewolf stories, a person only turns into a wolf when there's a full moon. Now, according to a study conducted at Australia's Calvary Mater Newcastle Hospital, a full moon brings out the beast in many humans. We've all heard this, so there's a full moon. People are going to be crazy. They did a study, and this study found that of the 91 violent acute behavior incidents at the hospital between August 2008 and July 2009, 23% happened during a full moon. Patients attacked staff, displayed wolf-like behavior, such as biting, spitting, and scratching. Although many were under the influence of drugs or alcohol at the time, it's unclear why they became so intensely violent when the moon was full. Now, I don't know about you, but do you feel like that study has any legs to stand on? Like, yeah, 23% acted crazy on a full moon? And yeah, most of them, oh, they were doped up, or they were high or intoxicated. So I don't know if that study, I don't think I can make an educated decision on the whole full moon effect just based off of that study. But what do you think? Do you think werewolves are real? The werewolf phenomenon may have a medical explanation. Take Peter the Wild Boy, for instance. In 1725, he was found wandering naked on all fours through a German forest. Many thought he was a werewolf, or at least raised by wolves. Peter ate with his hands and couldn't speak. He was eventually adopted by the courts of the King George I and King George II, and he lived out his days as their pet in England. Research has shown Peter likely had Pitt-Hopkins syndrome. Now, that's a condition. It wasn't discovered until 1978, and it causes lack of speech, it causes seizures, distinct facial features, difficulty breathing, and intellectual challenges. Other medical conditions that might have encouraged werewolf mania throughout history are lycanthropy, like I had mentioned before, and that is a psychological condition that causes people to believe that they're changing into a wolf or another animal. Food poisoning could be an explanation, apparently. There's hypertrichosis, which is a rare genetic disorder that causes excessive hair growth, rabies, hallucination, or of course the hallucinations possibly caused by, again, hallucinogenic herbs. Those seem to play a big role through these stories. So people are tripping on mushrooms in the 16th century and thinking they're werewolves. That's what it sounds like. Throughout the centuries, people have used werewolves and other mythical beasts to explain the unexplainable. In modern times, however, most believe werewolves are nothing more than pop culture horror icons, made famous thanks to Hollywood's 1941 movie, The Wolfman. Good flick if you haven't seen it. I love those classics. Of course, there's always, you know, Teen Wolf from the 80s. Can't go wrong with an 80s movie. They don't make them like they used to. Kinda love Teen Wolf. Anyways, I digress. As the threat posed by real wolves in Europe slowly vanished due to industrialization and population growth, the delusion of being a werewolf was gradually replaced with other forms of psychosis. How many people were tried and convicted of being werewolves in all? Several studies reported that 30,000 were executed as werewolves in France between 1520 and 1630. But there's a historian that traced the origin of that figure, that number, to a 1611 book by this guy who's a very zealous werewolf prosecutor. And he noted that it referred to all the inhabitants of that region in France. And the guy who wrote that and came up with the numbers believed that every family practiced witchcraft in some form. So it's actually closer to a number of maybe just a couple hundred. But again, we don't know. There's not super accurate records of all of that. Still, werewolves have a cult following. Werewolf sightings are reported each year, and werewolf legends will likely continue to haunt the dreams of people throughout the world. So, there you have it. The tales of the werewolf. Pun intended. That was to get us ready for the big day approaching. You know, the Super Bowl of all holidays for us creeps and freaks and seekers of the dark. Thank you again for joining me. I hope you enjoyed it. Now, next week, I am doing a bonus episode in the spirit of Halloween. So join me again on Halloween for that. And in addition to doing that bonus episode, I will be doing a kind of crossover episode with my husband's podcast, since it's Halloween. As I've mentioned before, he does the music podcast called The Rock Brigade Show, where he plays 80s rock and he talks about the bands, gives you all the current info and past info on those 80s rockers. But since it's Halloween, that's kind of my thing. So I'm going to take over his show and I'm going to play some Halloween related rock and roll from the 80s. And I'm going to toss in a few spooky stories that are related to that music. So if you want to, you can jump over to his podcast next week and check that out as well. I'll make it easy for you. I will put the link in next week's episode description so you can click on that. Now, just so you know, heads up, to listen to all of it with all of the music, you have to actually be a Spotify subscriber because he plays music in his podcast that is specific to Spotify. You can hear all of the speaking content, all the stuff in between the music, but you get very little snippets of the actual music. So just heads up, if you're already a Spotify subscriber, then you will be able to hear it no problem. So anyways, that is it for me. Here's to hoping you have a super spooky week, gearing up for the spooky holiday weekend. Thanks for listening again, and until our next encounter, stay dark, my friends.